When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
First time recording in person.
We have never recorded in person together ever.
Never ever.
And what's embarrassing about this is we've always said we don't know how.
It was too technically difficult for us.
We've tried many times, but the microphones, they always pick each other up and then start echoing.
Right. I think the issue is that we needed a third device, like a mixer of some sort. And this just always felt above our pay grade. It felt like we needed an audio degree to get it going.
People always said you need this little thing that's like a mixer that you plug both mics into. And we were like, that sounds too hard. We can't figure it out.
Took us about 20 minutes last night to figure it out.
Oh, well, it took, yeah.
You 20 minutes.
It took us 20 minutes to figure out all of like the setup. But to actually how to use this, it took us maybe 10 seconds.
Yeah. So this is really embarrassing for us. It's taken us this long. It's very beautiful to look at you.
Is it?
It is. Yeah, you look gorgeous.
thank you.
So can I tell you something funny that happened this morning?
You can. It's just weird. It's like a weird moment because I do feel like real podcasters in the room. It's a strange sensation.
Do you feel like we're going to kiss or something?
Ew, that's disgusting.
But I don't know. There's something about just like you in the flesh.
It's very attractive to you?
It's very attractive to me. So as I was taking the kids to school this morning.
Yeah.
Which
I chastised you for.
Yeah, which you chastised me for. I had to galvanize them in some way to make the ride entertaining for myself.
Okay.
So I told them that they could come up with a punishment for you for being naughty yesterday. And galvanizing the children into thinking of punishments for you was very funny. Do you want to hear what they came up with?
Yes, I would love to.
Okay, so they're in the back and they go, hot sauce, cold showers. And then they go, no, wait, she likes hot sauce. And then one of them was like, brush her teeth 5 times in the middle of the day. And then someone goes, no Starbucks.
Oh my, okay, now that child knows me. That child knows what would actually be cruel and unusual punishment. Everything else I could tolerate.
Yeah.
But no caffeine. Anyways. Absolutely not.
Yeah. It was really fun for me to galvanize them in this way.
I'm sure that is a wild fantasy of yours.
It is.
Given our working relationship.
Thank goodness that this week we actually have a decent amount to talk about.
Mm.
I feel like it's been months and months before we've had like a true good like pop culture news cycle.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes you and I, we scrape at the bottom of the barrel. Yeah. We go really deep in Daily Mail and there's just, it can get real dry.
Yeah,
real quick.
Where do you want to begin?
Okay, I want to chat with you about something that happened recently. So Heather Dubrow posted on her stories, and I'm actually dying for your thoughts about this. Okay. So she posted on her stories that, you know, the kids are going off to college, and she posted this Bravo interview of the kids, right?
Yeah.
And there's a video clip of her first. Should I find it and just play it for you really quick?
Describe it for me.
I'll just tell you. She goes, the twins are going off to college. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
They don't know how to do laundry. But there's a laundry service at the dorms. How bougie is that? Can I get your reaction, please?
These children are so ill-equipped for the real world. I would actually like a reality TV show where the Dubrow children have to, just do normal things, like do their laundry, grocery shop for themselves, put away their clothes into normal bins, not bins that have been shipped across the country for them by their mother.
So here's what I find to be personally offensive about it. Yeah. I would love to watch that reality show as well. So thank you for the project idea. But I just find it to be annoying when everything that Heather says mm-hmm. comes out as a flex. It's just
absolutely.
It's all a flex.
I actually think the most personally offensive thing to me is that they're doing their children a disservice by never allowing them to just learn how to do their own laundry.
It's nothing to brag about when your kids don't know basic life skills.
Absolutely.
That's actually like embarrassing. No,
it's embarrassing for your children.
Yes, it's so embarrassing for the kids. And there's something so interesting in Nouveau Riche about Heather and Terry Dubrow mm-hmm. where they're so obsessed with everyone knowing how wealthy they are at every turn.
Yeah.
It's like the sale of the house. Yeah. Like I have a friend, fellow podcaster. Yeah. She ran into Terry Dubrow in Newport.
Okay.
This was around the sale of the house. And he was like, you should Google it to see how much we sold it for. It's so icky. And it's just like the opposite of people with like true vast amounts of wealth. There's just something to me about
it's odious
and it's Nouveau Riche. Okay, and then I have another thought.
Okay,
and I want to contrast this also where and I'm not trying to get political, but Michelle Obama was on Oprah back in the day when Obama was first elected.
Yeah,
and she was talking about how the kids still have to, they make their own beds, do their own laundry.
Because
she was like, I cannot have children who don't know how to do their own laundry.
I got the chills.
Like, I'm not gonna do it.
Right
And it's like, that's the attitude, you know?
And honestly, I think people, you know, across the aisle would agree that children need to learn how to do normal chores. That's just like a part of being a normal person. I mean, if I was also dating in the dating world, you know, no, I'm no longer in the dating world, obviously. But if I met someone who didn't know how to do their own laundry, that would be a huge turnoff to me.
Oh, it's so embarrassing. I don't know. But if they were connected, if I was vacationing with the Dubrows, I'd overlook it.
I mean, yeah, if you're vacationing with them, but I don't know. These children annoy me.
So the other thing that I think is interesting, and it's just like a conspiracy theory I have, but you know how they keep like touting this $55 million sale? Like
of their house?
That they sold their house for $55 million. Well, here's my thought process.
Yeah.
So obviously they financed the first home, right? So it's not like they're making all that money. So what I think, and this is just like my theory, and please, any real estate gurus, any finance gurus, let me know.
You know who you could ask? Who's a real estate guru? Who? Their eldest son.
Oh my gosh. Let's get into that in a second. So they bought their new home in Beverly Hills for $16 million.
Okay.
And I think that whatever they made was something in that, something $16 million or below.
Okay.
Because in California, if you sell your house and make money on it, you need to pay capital gains tax on that.
Okay.
And it's a lot.
Yeah.
The taxes are extreme.
Right.
And so, but there is a law that if you buy another home within the same year, you basically just fold the profit into that new home and you don't pay any taxes on it.
Yeah.
And so I think that they 100%
put
all the profit into the new house, which as you
that
should.
That makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, I think we should start referring to it as a $16 million
sale. I think, you know, that would be right. Let's do that. I think one thing that bears repeating is that Terry Dubrow comes from money. He's not completely self-made. Mm-hmm. He didn't just like bootstrap his way to a $55 million sale, house sale or whatever. He comes from money. Obviously, he's made some smart investments. But, you know, they're not just like, he didn't just like make this money and botched.
Yeah, I think that you and I have long theorized about how the Dubrows came to their, you know, to their wealth.
We know, because his brother was in a famous band that escapes me.
I don't think the wealth comes from the band. Are you sure?
Yes.
Because I'm pretty sure that the wealth comes from Terry making some really good investment. That's the rumor I heard.
Yeah, but I think he had a good amount of money to invest.
Mm.
Terry Dubrow, brother, wealthy.
And did it go to Terry?
Well, Kevin Dubrow was an American rock singer who had a net worth of $10 million at the time of his death in 2007. So here we go. Some observers believe that Kevin's family members inherited a significant portion of his wealth, and the most obvious recipients would be his younger brother, Terry, who at one point claimed that Kevin had paid for his entire medical education.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Chandler showing up with the receipts and the facts this morning.
I've got receipts.
Oh my gosh.
I've got receipts. Yeah, Lauren, so I had receipts and I was able to show you the proof that Terry Dubrow was not, you know, he didn't start from nothing and then amass all this fortune.
You know, I very much appreciate you knowing more of the facts about the Dubrows than me.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Chandler. The thing I want to also say is that Nikki Dubrow he's interning right now for Josh Altman. So this guy is going to never really work a day in his life.
He's never going to work a day in his life.
And he's going to be so much richer than us.
He annoys the shit out of me. Like, I'm sure this kid is perfectly nice, but all their kids annoy me.
Does it bug you that Nikki Dubrow turned out to be kind of hot?
He's not hot.
Which we never saw coming.
He's not hot.
Did you look at the Instagram?
I've seen enough to know that he's not. I mean, he's not on a path. Who were we talking about recently who you thought was super hot?
Sean Lowe.
You think he's super hot? I don't think he's super hot, but he's definitely...
You do.
Sorry, Kagan. Respectfully. I could not believe that I was met with any type of resistance to the idea that Sean Lowe is not hot.
I'm married. This is not the Patreon. I need to move forward.
Okay. All right, let's move forward.
Okay, so now that we have done the Dubrow takedown, Heather, if you're listening and if you want to come on the podcast and defend yourself, we would love to have you.
Lauren, the wall behind you, it's quite barren. What's going on there?
You know what? I find getting things framed to be very stressful. And so I've just never done it. I don't basically have anything framed in my home. And it's sad for me.
It's very sad, which is why we are so lucky to be sponsored by Framebridge right now.
Yes, I am so excited to correct this wrong in my life. What's so great about Framebridge is for other people also intimidated by a gallery wall, if you go on their website, you can just very quickly, easily upload like 5 photos or whatever it is, and they will send you different dimensioned, cute frames, beautiful, sleek, modern, so you can just hang your gallery wall and it's good to go.
They make it very easy on a layperson like yourself. Everyone, see why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Can I talk to you about a product that you love, that Courtney loves, and that I love?
Please.
Early Bird CBD Gummies are so phenomenal, everyone. They are the perfect 2.5 milligrams of THC and 12.5 milligrams of CBD. So this concoction, it gives you the warmest, gooeyest feeling.
They have the magic formula. I love the watermelon flavor. That's my favorite. I also love using them when I know I need to get a good night's sleep and I can sleep in.
You guys, we love Early Bird CBD so much. We reached out to them to see if they'd be interested in sponsoring the show because we were like, these products, these gummies, everyone needs to know about them. We're going to tell them about them anyway. So maybe we can get paid to do it. And honestly, we just cannot recommend them enough. We have a link in our show notes. You can go to earlybirdcbd.com. Use code popapologist20 for 20% off. earlybirdcbd.com, popapologist20 for 20% off. Do yourself a favor. Try the gummies.
They ship to all 50 states, everybody.
You got to try it. earlybirdcbd.com.
All right, Lauren. We haven't talked about this yet, and I'm very excited to hear your take because we have been saving this for the pod.
Okay.
Kylie and Timothy.
Oh my gosh. Yes, we have. Okay. I am excited to talk about this with you as well.
So rumors were swirling months ago about mm-hmm. them dating. I didn't believe it. I was like, this is a publicity stunt. I've never seen them. You know, there was like a paparazzi photo of his car at her house. I didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. Then at the US Open and I think at the Beyonce concert, mm-hmm. we got images and videos of them ensconced.
Ensconced. Okay.
What's your take?
So thank you so much for asking. So I am very shallow, as you know. Mm-hmm. And so what's really important to me is that things look hot to me. Okay. I love a hot couple. I love a hot person.
Yeah. And you do not think Timothy Chalamet is hot?
Timothy Chalamet, for me, he's just like not necessarily virile man adjacent. He's more young boy.
He's not Sean Lowe enough for you.
He does not look enough like Sean Lowe. And that is the issue I have with Timothy Chalamet. And so
I knew it.
Also, I don't know if Timothy Chalamet is a Christian, which is I don't think he's a Christian.
He's like born and raised in New York. And I don't know. There's something about being born and raised in Manhattan that just makes me think you're not a Christian.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
So I was against this relationship also because he's a little puny and Kylie is a voluptuous woman. Like, I'd love to see her with a big brawny man. That's what I thought.
I think that is your...
That's a heteronormative, disgusting thing that I really need to work through.
I think literally that's something you need to work through.
I know.
Like, you cannot weigh more than your spouse.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I think that's just an instinctual thing, though. Like, most movies that we see, couples...
Sure. Typically, the woman is smaller.
I think it's as most women want their partner to be taller than them. This is just an evolutionary preference that I'm brave enough to, you know, cop to on this podcast.
Okay. I think that you should do some inner work because I don't know that I would ever voice that.
Okay. Well, I am brave. So you should need to look at you need to do some inner work on your lack of courage. So anyway, Chandler, when I saw the photos, allow some water of relief to wash over you as I tell you that I think this is a truly hot couple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they look good together.
They look good together. Here's why I like it. I like that Kylie is voluptuous because you know what would make me even madder than Kylie with Timothy early days when I didn't believe it? Timothy and Kendall.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, because Kendall is so boring. She gives nothing. Like, I just,
and she's just such classic hot girl.
Totally. She's just like, whatever, classic model. Like, and mm-hmm. that's, and I feel like that's maybe who we would think would be with Timothy, but mm-hmm. I like that they're kind of, you know, a different kind of match.
I 100% agree. And I think they look really good together.
Frankly, I don't know if it's acting. I don't know if they were playing it up for the cameras with all their like footage of them at the Beyonce concert and at the US Open, but I'm buying what they're selling.
I am buying what they're selling too. It is super hot there. And what I like about it is it's a very unexpected couple, right?
Yeah.
Like, and not unexpected in a way that's just kind of like, meh. Like, remember when Ben Affleck was dating that one girl, the 32-year-old or the 33-year-old.
Oh, Ana de Armas.
Yeah, Ana de Armas. Not unexpected and like, oh, we didn't put them together. Right. But no, this is like a Timothy Shamalugu or whatever his name is. He is a true artist. He's in that film world. He's very rarefied. Kylie Jenner is a billionaire. She's reality. She's not on his echelon.
I would say she's just a little bit more lowbrow.
Yeah, there's a there's a brow disparity and there's a wealth disparity, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And when these two come together, it is just like, it's like melon and prosciutto. You don't realize how good it's going to be together.
And I would say that Timothy would be the prosciutto. Skinny little slices.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Oh, and oh my gosh.
And the melons on Kylie.
And Kylie is definitely the melon. Yeah. So anyway, we're a fan.
We're a big fan.
Just for shallow reasons, though. If they didn't look hot together, but we would be so over this couple.
Wouldn't that be annoying if he was dating Kendall?
Okay, see, here's the thing for me. I feel no sort of like claim over Timothy Shalamagoo because for me, I'm not attracted to him. So if he was with Kendall, I would just be like, whatever, two string beans.
Right,
who cares?
But I just think,
but I think you're into him.
Oh, I'm definitely into him. I also think that Kendall, I don't know. This is like, this podcast has become my crusade against Kendall Jenner. But I just think she's so, she gives nothing. Mm-hmm. And so when I just feel like Timothy is a way more interesting character. I don't feel like Kendall deserves him.
Yeah. And I like the fact that he's into Kylie.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
Also because it's like, I think there's just such a cool guy thing where guys are never, don't want to be into girls who aren't totally naturally hot. Right, and they don't have, like Kylie has like a done vibe. Right.
Totally.
And a lot of cool guys wouldn't be down.
And I would say like artsy cool guys.
100%. You know? They want to be with the indie girl, you know.
The manic pixie dream girl.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And Kylie's the opposite of a Kylie, manic pixie dream
but
girl.
But I think
in the best way.
Not that he's there for the cash, but I do think that, you know, rolling with Kylie Jenner is a different experience dating wise than Kendall.
For sure. Like, I mean, we're talking,
Kendall is like, can we borrow Kylie's plane? It's like Kylie's like I'll send my plane to pick you up.
Totally. And let's go to Nobu, you know.
That's a big
upgrade.
Honestly,
even Nobu's a little pedestrian for Kylie. Yeah. Okay, I'm excited. We'll see how long it lasts.
Also, low key,
what?
I do think that Kylie Jenner, whenever I watch her, she is just so sweet on the show. And I do think Kylie Jenner is like, she's annoying on Instagram. She's one of those people that's like annoying on Instagram, kind of like me.
Sure.
But in person, incredible.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, she's better than Kendall.
Yes, absolutely. You
know. Okay. Okay. So another thing I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
Stassi had her baby.
Yes. She named her baby Messer.
Mm-hmm. Do you like the name?
Okay, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. It's just, it's different. And
her explanation of it was weird. It was like something about how, like, it was how, what you would say instead of like Milord or something. Like, I feel like there's something about how it was like in feudal times. Like,
she is a Renaissance queen. She loves a costume.
Yeah.
She loves Marie Antoinette. I am not a huge fan of the name. Here's the thing for me. I like unique names.
Yeah.
I do. But I also just feel like I don't like names that are completely unheard of. Because for me, they just say they're like such attention grabbers for the parents.
Right, right.
And it's going to be annoying for the kid.
Absolutely. I mean, Chandler? Would you say Chandler?
Chandler is an actual name, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Messer sounds like a last name of a large Mormon family.
I feel that's very true. I do feel like commenting on people's baby names is like literally invoking terrible karma.
Well, also, it's like, we don't want to have this girl hate us. We love her.
Stassi. We love her.
We love Heather Dubrow.
I say this with all due respect.
Yeah.
All due respect.
Agreed.
But yeah, not my favorite, but that's okay. You know what? Teach their own.
Not our favorite name, but I do think that Stassi Schroeder is a true queen. And Stassi, if you're listening, you'd like to come on the podcast anytime.
Honestly, anyone who we've talked shit about on this podcast, you are welcome to come on and defend yourself. We would love it, actually.
If anyone that we've talked tons of shit on, you know, they get a whiff of the podcast and want to come on, or we somehow get to book them, I just want you to know that I'm going to have some AI scrape through every single episode.
We'll scrub it.
And scrub it.
I mean, this recently happened with Carol.
Oh, Carol Radswell. Yeah. She is just such, Carol Radswell is very cool because we talked crap on her on our podcast.
Yep.
the team that does the social media put up a clip of us talking on her.
Yeah.
And she commented and was so cool about it. Totally.
She was self-aware.
She was self-aware. Yeah. She was so chill.
Yeah.
And then anyway, I did like a little, I did a response video.
Clapback was perfect. Yeah.
And it was like a fun clapback, but like really telling her that we worship her and we're sorry. Right. And she was like so cute in the comments to that.
Yeah. So. No, she's a real one.
Anyway. Okay. Let's move on. What do you think about Messer? I didn't ask you. You always ask me.
Well, I agree with
you. You agree.
Oh, okay. I completely agree. Okay. Yeah. Like, I thought Hartford was cute.
Mm-hmm.
Messer feels like a, I don't know. It's just, also I thought her explanation of it was weirder when she was talking about how it was like back in feudal times, is like what you would say instead of like server or something. I don't know. It was like, it was too Renaissance fair for me, but wishing them love.
Yeah. Wishing them all the best.
Also, why wouldn't you name a kid Bo? I feel like Bo is such a cute name.
Bo is a really cute name.
You know,
name.
Like I would name a kid Bo.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear about Beyonce.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you. So I was listening to another podcast, which will remain nameless.
Okay.
And they were talking about going to the Beyonce concert. Yeah. You know, I have beef with Beyonce.
Yeah. Let's talk
Beyonce
about it.
Beyonce and I don't really get along. She has no idea who I am, I just, in this one-sided relationship, it's not good.
Yeah. You're just not a huge Beyonce fan.
I don't like her music.
Yeah.
I find her music to be guttural and viscerally off-putting.
Okay. This is like a camp of one.
Anyway, I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that she was doing a stadium tour in Los Angeles because I just didn't know that many people still listened.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. No, I didn't think people still cared about Beyonce. I know. It's a strange thing.
Like,
this
is giving me a stomachache because the people who are going to come after us for this, the beehive.
The bayhive.
Yeah.
Okay. So my issue with Beyonce and the beef I have with her is that I feel like she's very Kendall Jenner adjacent. She just gives us nothing.
Aloof.
She's so aloof. We know very little about her.
Yeah.
And unlike a Taylor Swift, who really just kind of like wears her heart on her sleeve, is all about the fans, shows up at a fans, you know, christening for their child.
Sure.
Like she's like always there for the fans. I feel like Beyonce gives nothing to the fans.
I think Beyonce gives us more about her personal life really through her music. Not to a Taylor Swift level by any means, but like if you think about like Lemonade, like that album was very vulnerable, very raw.
For sure. I guess it's just like, this is 2023. Yeah. I was born in 1990. I'm a 21st century woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not interested in just the art.
Yeah.
I also am. I want the artist. I grew up on Kim Kardashian.
I think people always compare Beyonce and Taylor Swift, and I don't think that's like fair. Like, I feel like we don't compare two male artists to each other like we do with women. And so I think like they're in their own separate stratospheres and categories and everything. But I do think it can be like as two people who enjoy fan interaction from our artists.
Yeah.
I think Beyonce doesn't do that.
No, she doesn't. And so that's my main issue with her. Sonically, obviously, I have a crusade against her that I love to lead.
I like Beyonce.
Okay.
I'm not like a Beyonce is my everything. Like she's in my like, top.
What song do you actually like to listen to?
What do you mean? What song do I like to listen to?
Song of Beyonce is have you listened to recently?
I like Love on Top. I like Countdown. I like Virgo's Groove from the new album.
How often are you listening to those
Plastic
beats?
Off the Sofa?
How often?
Plastic Off the Sofa was in my top songs for this year.
I just feel like if we're talking about actual
listen to Taylor Swift more than Beyonce. I'm not trying to say that I listen to more Beyonce than Taylor Swift.
Undisputed. I'm sure there's an argument to be made that sonically Beyonce is more on an artistic level. More sophisticated.
See,
or she's doing
who? Than Taylor Swift?
I'm not trying to compare artists, but she's doing some sort of deeper project. Whatever. I just find it to be boring.
Here's the thing. I think Beyonce is just less like syrupy. Mm-hmm. Beyonce is less syrupy in every way. She's less like maybe less romantic in her songs, less just like she doesn't ever write with the sparkly gel pen.
Right, right.
You know, which we both love.
Or
which
the quill, to be frank.
Or the quill.
Sure. Beyonce could use a little more sparkly gel, more quill.
I think, too, you and I prefer like big love songs.
Yeah.
I think we like big love ballads. Yeah. And I don't think that Beyonce is always doing big love ballads. They're a little bit more like about more complicated relationships, you could say.
For sure.
So anyways.
Anyway, we're getting lost in the weeds. So I just was listening to this podcast and they were saying that they went to the show.
Yeah.
And they felt like it was watching a robot perform.
Really?
Yeah. They said that basically it's like she just hits her mark. She does the move. She is an incredible singer and dancer.
Yeah, right.
But when it comes to connecting to the audience, like they might as well not even be there.
Interesting.
And And apparently that she like doesn't do any sort of talking to the audience.
Oh, yeah, that's hard because that's like...
That's part of the show.
For. It's like what you come for, like the little bit of interaction you get with this like superstar.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also apparently there's one song that she fully just had the audience sing the entire song.
Oh, really?
And apparently this person said that they could see Kris Jenner's box and they were like kind of close. And they said the whole Kardashian family seemed like the energy in the stadium was annoyed.
Yeah. And I think too, if you're comparing it to Eras Tour stadium energy, like that's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I just thought those were interesting complaints about Beyonce's tour that I wanted to highlight today on Pop
Apologist. Honestly, I think a lot of live musicians can be like that. Mm. I think it's not every superstar is an amazing live performer.
Courtney went to a Ryan Adams concert. Yeah. And I remember she was fuming one time. This was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And she was like, he just didn't say anything to us. Right, like he just sang and then left. And don't you feel like that's fucking rude?
Yeah, it makes you feel like
they don't care about
you. They don't care. They're one-sided. Not deriving any joy from like from performing their art with like with you know or at least
you
not,
there.
Not
it's not personally
it.
For
right,
you.
Right.
They're just like phoning it.
They're
in.
Just like a performer.
They're a performer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. Anyway, I just think I would be annoyed if I dressed up in silver, went to the stadium tour, and then there was just nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, you know, and I wonder if Beyonce fans even want that. Maybe they're just used to it. Cause I don't think she's really ever.
Well, I think that this person went to the Beyonce.
Yeah.
This person said that the energy in the stadium was just like not great.
Okay. Okay. Well, write in if you went to, I feel like Beyonce or.
Write in.
And Beyonce, if you'd like to come on our podcast and
I am
defend
a huge
yourself.
Beyonce fan. In fact, I'm shocked I'm not wearing metallic silver for this recording.
Did you ever like Beyonce? I feel like there was like one point in your life where you liked her.
Like maybe during Single Ladies.
Yeah.
I just like there can't was a not turn like... for me.
Yeah.
And I think it really was, you know what it really was? It was, I just became such a Kardashian stan back in the day. Like I just loved the Kardashians and I felt like Jay-Z and Beyonce in the media.
Sure.
Beyonce was always compared with Kim. It was like Beyonce has talent. Kim doesn't.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was always early the days, narrative. Yeah, and when Jay-Z snubbed Kim so hard at that one awards show.
What
remember
did Jay-Z
that?
Do?
There's that meme where Kim is with Kanye.
Yeah.
And I think it's Jay-Z wins an award. Jay-Z, and he comes back and he like gives Kanye a hug and then he just completely walks past Kim.
Yeah.
Kim goes to give him a hug and just walks past him.
Yeah.
Like I think there's a snobbery there.
Mm-hmm. I think they are very snobbish.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And anyway, I don't know.
I don't think we like our musicians
I'm a woman
to
of
be
the people.
Snobs, except for Heather Dubrow. You like Heather Dubrow as a snob.
But she's a snob in a way that she's giving.
It's like fun. And also it's funny. It's like... I don't know. She's like, she looks, it's more of an embarrassing snobbery.
True snobs give nothing.
Right.
True snobs, they don't have podcasts. They don't go on reality shows. They just like, you know, sail around on their yachts and live private, luxurious lives. Fair. Like Beyonce, who is a true snob.
True. Okay.
I actually know nothing about her.
Well,
I have a lot of conjectures for very little research.
All I know is that Lauren's going to get a ton of hate for this episode.
Yeah. I will say that when we get a negative review and it's like, I loved these girls up until they spoke about Beyonce or up until they gave us one idea, I couldn't care less. My thought process is like...
Haters make you famous?
Not hate, but it's just like, I'm sorry, but you are not going to be able to do this job and not get comments like that.
No, it's
and not
true.
Get
it's
hate
true.
Like that. And so that... It and just washes off me.
Stand strong in your anti-Beyonce truth.
Thank you.
Yeah.
As we've discussed on this podcast, I'm unafraid.
I'll stand in my Kendall Jenner hatred.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Lauren, as we made our descent into New York, you know, from our beloved Guana Island trip, I got excited thinking about coming home to like my more simple routine food, like my Clean Simple Eats protein powder.
Yeah, I feel like it's such a good staple because the protein powder, if you blend it with ice and water, you got a vanilla frosty essentially, if you like the Simply Vanilla. If you get chocolate brownie batter, you've got a chocolate frosty. You could do the mint chocolate chip, you got a thin mint frosty, or you just dissolve it in milk or water and that also strangely tastes really good, like chocolate milk. It's a super fast, easy, quick snack. Also, I just love that the ingredients are clean, they're grass-fed. It's 20 grams of protein for 110 calories. It is just the best protein powder out there.
Everyone, go to cleansimpleeats.com and use the promo code POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off. That's POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off.
cleansimpleeats.com, POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get into Olivia Rodrigo and Taylor Swift.
Speaking of feuds between women. Mm-hmm. So, Chandler.
Speaking of women hating women.
Yes. Okay, this, I think we need to bring it back because for everyone who doesn't know,
yeah,
Olivia Rodrigo, she...
You just discovered that she existed.
No, I mean, basically, yeah. Olivia Rodrigo, she's the one who, she's the very young singer.
Right.
She is 20. She was born in 2003.
Makes me feel ill.
How crazy is that?
It's really crazy.
So she is a huge Taylor stan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
A huge Swiftie. There are photos of her as like a young girl with holding up that she loves Taylor Swift.
You can't be born in 2003 and not be obsessed with Taylor Swift.
Mega, mega Swiftie. Yeah. There's also the cutest video of her doing a Cruel Summer cover that I highly recommend everyone watch. I mean, Olivia Rodrigo is such a baby.
Right.
Like, she was probably 14 or 15
when
she was singing that cover. Anyway, so Olivia Rodrigo, she came out with that song, Driver's License, galvanized the nation. You know, people were stirred up into action of love for Olivia Rodrigo. Because vocally, she's an insane talent.
Yeah.
And she has some major bop. Well, so at the beginning, it was all love between Taylor and Olivia.
Right?
Like, Taylor commented on Olivia's Instagram. There were pictures of them together.
Taylor sent her gifts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Taylor really took Olivia under her wing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when her album came out, Sour, though, that was her debut album.
Yep.
Things took a turn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let me actually, I want to tell you something, Chandler. Please, do you know when Sour came out?
Sour came out the year that Ben and I met. So 2021. I remember because on the way to Puerto Rico, when we went on our trip, I listened to nothing but Sour the entire like.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So well, 2021. It came out May 21st, 2021. Sour came out May 21st, 2021. That was a Friday, Chandler.
Yeah.
A Friday in May. Okay. I just want you to hold that in your brain. Okay. So anyway, everyone hold that in your brains. So Sour comes out and that is when the public, you know, love fest went kaput.
Like the minute Sour came out, I thought I thought Taylor was like, didn't Olivia say like, I'm up, she was like up on the charts next to Taylor Swift and like, and then Taylor responded.
But I think that's with the, when the singles.
The single. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and the reason why I know that that's when it took a nosedive is I'm just going to read you the lyrics of the song, The Grudge by Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is from her new album Guts.
Yes. Let's actually tell the story. So basically, when Sour came out, there was two songs on Sour that really were referential to Taylor Swift.
Right, right.
The first was, what do you remember what it's called?
One Step Forward, Three Steps Back.
So Three Steps Forward, One Step Back.
Yeah.
That,
do you know it follows the same chord progression as New Year's Day.
Okay. Yes. And it, and there was a direct reference to Taylor Swift, I think.
And Olivia like called this out. She was like,
This is inspired by.
Right, right. I love this chord progression so much. I wanted to like riff on it or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In this song, Deja Vu, I think it's called an interpolation.
Yeah.
There's an interpolation of Cruel Summer. So anyway, Deja Vu, it references Cruel Summer.
Right.
However, there was not the overt writing credit on that track. It was just more, I think because the reference is super subtle, in my personal opinion. Some will say it's not.
Yeah.
I think it's super subtle.
Okay. Maybe to, you know, a layman's ears.
Yes.
Yeah.
So astute fans will note that after Sour came out, that is when all of the photos together stopped. That is when there was just something going on between these two.
Yeah, and then, a rift had begun.
Yes. And then later on in Spotify, Taylor Swift, Jack Antonoff, and I think
St. Vincent
were listed as having writing credits on Deja Vu.
Yeah.
So Taylor allegedly sued Olivia for writing credits of Deja Vu and was awarded 50% royalties, okay? Mm-hmm. So this lawsuit cost Olivia millions of dollars. And Deja Vu was a huge hit on Sour.
Yeah.
And then it appears to the fans like they're in a mega fight.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, let me add some context, some more present day context. So the song Deja Vu is about the love triangle between her co-star, whose name I'm forgetting, the guy that she was dating, and his new girlfriend, Sabrina Carpenter.
Okay.
Taylor Swift invited Sabrina Carpenter to open up for her on the Eras Tour.
Sabrina Carpenter is also Olivia's sonic rival.
Well, and like, I think rival
and love
too.
Rival.
Love rival. Yeah.
Love rival and rival in the pop music world.
Right.
So clearly Taylor Swift soured on Olivia Rodrigo.
And that took guts.
That took...
So dumb.
And yeah, bringing Sabrina on tour, I mean, that's a huge F you.
When it's like fully known that that song is about Sabrina Carpenter, I knew that before, like years ago.
It
makes me feel a little bit icky about Taylor, that particular move. That feels particularly icky.
Should I play the Cruel Summer? Like, should I play these?
Play the TikTok. Because I think that was really helpful for me as a person with tone deaf ears to hear the similarities between the song.
So it's really that shouty yelly part.
That's the interpolation.
Yes. Yeah. That she copied.
Yeah. Oh, and I think as well, her other song copied Paramore.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. But speaking to just the Taylor Swift feud.
Right.
So I would say that in art, though, this is just a common thing that's done, right? Like, artists absolutely reference other art pieces.
For sure. Oh, and this is also a super common practice in music. It's not like Kanye West samples people all the time. Like, sampling and interpolation and all that stuff is very common. That's like, you know, I would be like hard-pressed to find a lot of popular music that isn't like sampled in some way or, you know, copied in some way. I think Taylor Swift is someone who has had her original music ripped from her and ownership ripped from her. And so I think that unfortunately for Olivia, this is a sticking point for Taylor, and that she should have known who she was dealing with when she, you know, decided to copy her music. And maybe Olivia is just like young, didn't know, first album, totally, like, I can understand that. But her producers and co-writers should have done better by her. That's who I place most of the blame with.
Yeah, I agree. I think she was super green. I think she genuinely didn't realize what she was doing in terms of, and, like, that it was illegal.
Well, and that there needed to be credit given and monetary credit.
Yeah,
you know, not just like, hey, I love your song so much, I'm going to copy it. Like, peace and,
well, she didn't
obsess with you.
This is the thing that I get a little bit Team Olivia on, is I don't feel like that song is a direct copy of Cruel Summer in any way.
But theoretically, the interpolation is a copy.
Well, yeah, of course. But that's a small part of the song, right?
For sure. But that's a copy. That's copying.
Yes, but you just said copied the whole... You said copied the song.
She didn't copy the whole song. And I'm not saying that this, like, discredits Olivia's talent anyway. And especially knowing how good Guts is. Like, she clearly is a very talented, like, musician. Taylor Swift is a singer-songwriter.
But
like,
so is Olivia. Olivia is a songwriter,
I don't think in the same way that Taylor is. Like, I don't think that... I think Olivia has had a lot more help with her songwriting.
Okay, this is the thing. We don't actually know. Taylor Swift also is in the studio, co-writes tons of her songs. And so I guess I'm just going to... Like, yes,
Olivia Rodrigo... I think Taylor Swift is the most talented songwriter of our time. And I don't think Olivia comes close to that.
Okay. At 20, she's had two albums out. I just don't think it's fair to even try to compare them. If we're talking about Sour and Guts compared to Taylor Swift and to Fearless, I just think that Olivia Rodrigo has a lot of potential.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely agree. I guess what I'm saying is that if you want to borrow from one of the biggest songwriters, best songwriters, you know, and if your co-writers or your producers want to borrow from them, you have to take it more seriously than maybe borrowing from someone more mid-tier.
Well, and
that would be my argument.
I think you have to do it the proper way.
Exactly.
Regardless.
Absolutely.
And I agree with you that her producers, her co-writers, they should have done better with her. I completely agree. Mm-hmm. But what I think is really interesting about this is because Olivia did a Rolling Stone interview where mm-hmm. she basically said, yeah, I was super inspired by this
totally
yelly, shouty part yeah. of Cruel Summer.
Yeah.
So I find it just really interesting, though, that Taylor Swift got litigious so quickly and also that she sued for 50% right, of the royalties right. because I personally feel like that's unfair because mm-hmm. the song is yeah. not 50% Cruel yeah. Summer.
I think I can understand Taylor's mentality that could have been, I'm speculating, I don't know her actual mentality, that you give them an inch and they'll take a mile. So mm-hmm. you have to just unfortunately take what is yours, rightfully yours completely. Right. Because otherwise, you know, like this is not the first young singer songwriter who's been inspired by Taylor Swift who loves her. And so I think that could have played into her, you know, really going for it all.
50% to me just seems super aggressive and unfair.
I don't know if that's like normal, you know, writing credit percentage of like, yeah. you know, royalties or whatever. The other thing I want to say, this is, you know, in defense of Olivia, I do wonder if Taylor Swift didn't care as much until she saw how big of a hit Deja Vu was.
So, okay. So this all brings us to the Friday in May. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually just going to play everyone The Grudge by Olivia Rodrigo because a lot of people are saying this song is about the feud with Taylor Swift.
Absolutely is.
So let's just play a little bit of this. Just as a reminder, Sour came out on May 21st, Friday, okay? In 2021.
If nightmares each week about that Friday in May, one phone call from you and my entire world was changed. Trust that you betrayed, confusion that still lingers. Took everything I loved and crushed it in between your fingers. Not that you ever think about the damage that you did, but I hold on to every detail like my life depends on it. My undying love, now I hold it like a grudge. Now I hear your voice every time that I think I'm not enough. And I try to be tough.
So, the full song is so good.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, his album is wonderful. She did such a good job. I feel for her. I feel it was her first album.
Yes.
You know, it's I can understand both sides, truly.
Mm-hmm.
And I do really feel bad for Olivia because she's just young.
She's young, and I think that if, as the song would lead us to believe, that this mm-hmm. lawsuit happened the day her album comes out,
right.
for me, there's something personal there. And it just seems right. a little bit like, as a seasoned, mature artist, Taylor should have let her have her moment and then, you know, maybe given yeah. it a week or two at right. least, and then had like a conversation.
Can we blame this on T-Pain or something? I don't know. Like, what's T-Pain going to do with this mess?
Honestly.
But yeah, I feel for Olivia. I yeah. think also that would be to have, you know, the full Monty of Taylor Swift's, you know, legal team mm-hmm. coming after you the day you release your album or very soon thereafter. Yeah, I really feel for her. That's really tough, especially if this is someone who you idolized. I mean, you know, it's like, what if Taylor Swift came after us and said,
oh, it would be
every time you've mentioned Taylor Swift, you've been copying me. I need 50% of, actually, she probably would never come after us because we don't have that much money. But
yeah, she's yeah. like, that's not worth my time.
Yeah.
Also, these lyrics are just, okay, so let me play this part too. I just think the lyric, you have everything and you still want more.
Yeah.
It's just so cutting.
I know. That gutted me.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended. Back to my, you give an inch, they take a mile. Like, I just think she has to draw this line in the sand.
For sure. But do you have to do it in such a personal
right.
way?
And
on the day this girl's debut album comes out.
Do we know that the lawsuit was filed the day her?
That yeah. Friday in May.
Yeah,
May
but
21st.
Maybe she's just talking about that. That was the day it launched. That's the day that, you know,
she got the phone call. Like, that's what Olivia says in the song.
Yeah.
I think that Taylor Swift, I never really understood the lyrics of Antihero where everyone's a sexy baby
right.
and I'm a monster on the hill. Because I just didn't really get
yeah.
sexy babies. But now I feel like a listener DM'd this. They're like, that is a reference to the Olivia Rodrigos,
right, right.
the new tweens
right,
coming
right,
up,
right.
you know, super talented
right.
musicians
mm-hmm.
that are hot on the tails of
yeah,
Taylor Swift's
right.
place in the music world.
Right.
And I think that Taylor Swift, you know, for all of her virtues, she's just like any of us, insecure about being replaced and becoming
right.
irrelevant.
I mean, the song Nothing New, which she wrote pre-Olivia Rodrigo, is all about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a really beautiful song and everyone should go listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just think that, we don't know what we don't know, but clearly this was done in a vicious, personal
way.
I
think Taylor made an example out of Olivia.
Oh, interesting.
And that's really sad. That's really sad for Olivia.
Yeah. Yeah, and clearly Taylor took it to a very personal level to have Sabrina Carpenter on tour with her.
Yes, that is where it's like, okay, let's twist the knife.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a full twist of the knife, which is a bummer because you'd be Taylor Swift's more of a girl's girl.
Mm-hmm. But we don't know. We don't know. Taylor, if you want to come on the pod.
Taylor, if you want to come on the pod, clear your name. Please reach out.
Reach out, girl. Okay, in more exciting news, mm-hmm. more riveting news, Chandler, this just came out. Meghan Markle was driving her $100,000 SUV in the drive-thru In-N-Out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Woman of the people.
So Meghan Markle went to In-N-Out. There's a perfect, crisp, professional super DSLR crisp. Photo of her in the drive-thru through the window. So this was clearly a very set up stunt or a PR moment.
I wonder if she handed one of the employees a backpack.
She was like, I just want to know, is anyone here between homes?
Are you between homes?
Archie has something to give you. Do you want some peanut butter crackers? Because that's what, you know, if you're homeless, we really want to give you refined sugar and processed food. Mm-hmm.
And something that'll make you super thirsty.
A Jansport backpack. Yeah. No nutrients and just a need for water. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So a lot of people are saying that Meghan Markle is primed for her comeback, right? And this is just like getting her more in the vibe, more in the scene. Right. This is part of the comeback. Yeah. She's a relatable queen. Yeah. She's in the drive-thru In-N-Out. Right.
I think they were both quoted. I can't remember whatever news outlet asked them for a quote on this In-N-Out incident. And they both gave their orders. Do you want to know what Prince Harry gets?
Oh, yeah.
Prince Harry gets a double-double with fries and a Coke.
Okay.
Oh, animal-style fries. So a double-double fries. Animal style fries and a Coke.
Yum.
And Megan gets, I think, a cheeseburger, fries, and a side of jalapenos.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
kind of like you.
This is that like,
do they even have jalapenos? Is she talking about the pepperoncinis?
I'll give everyone my In-N-Out order now.
Yeah, give them. Give it to them.
Okay, double double.
Yeah.
Animal style.
Yep.
Add raw onions.
Yep.
Extra chopped chilies. Right. Extra toasted bun.
Yeah. Delicious. Let's go get that for lunch.
It's
sounds incredible.
Unbelievable.
I hope that Meghan Markle took a page out of my book because when I was doing ketosis heavily when I was in college, In-N-Out was one of my favorite places to go, all right? So I would drive through, whip through the In-N-Out drive-thru, get myself a double-double protein style, and then wolf it down in the parking lot. I couldn't even wait till I got home in approximately 90 seconds. So I just hope she had that gorgeous car In-N-Out experience that we know and love.
The car eating experience is part of the In-N-Out experience, yes, it is. I will say. The smell of it lingering.
Lingering for days, weeks.
It's all part of it. It's all part of the joy. It's all part of the pain.
It's true.
The one thing I will say is that when it comes to In-N-Out, there's this glorious realization you have once you've been in the protein style life.
Right.
When you realize that the bun is only 140 more calories and it's an infinite amount of joy.
It's so much joy. Yeah.
Thankfully, so much more satisfaction. Well,
I could eat one of those double-double protein styles and feel nothing.
And feel like ready for more.
I felt like I had a cracker, a single cracker.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
The bun is so necessary.
Bun is so necessary.
And Kagan and I really go to the mat over this, but he thinks that the ratio is perfect as a single cheeseburger. And I think you need the double-double.
No, you need the because those patties are flat.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we covered that
ground. Yeah. Okay. Let's just end it on a bleak note. Danny Masterson.
Yeah.
Do you want to lead us through this?
I thought after last week's Patreon that I would be through reporting on this horrendous news.
Yeah.
But there has been a public backlash for Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis because it has come to light that they wrote character letters to the judge in the case. And everyone was very upset about this. And frankly, the letters were released so you could read them all. And they are pretty lengthy, and they definitely go on and on about what a great guy Danny Masterson is, which is interesting for someone who was just convicted of rape.
Right.
Two counts of rape. And so Ashton and Mila post.
In fairness, though, they were written before the conviction.
No, they weren't.
Oh, they were written after the conviction? No after way.
This is the.
Wait, are you serious?
I'm serious. They were written after the conviction about the sentencing.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
WTAF.
Yeah. They were written post conviction to try to make his sentencing lighter.
This is unforgivable to me.
Okay, so Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher, they released a video speaking about the letters they'd written seeking leniency in the prison sentence of Danny Masterson, the actor best known for his role in That 70s Show. Kutcher literally says in his letter, "I do not believe he is an ongoing harm to society." And then he said,
"Yeah, because Ashton Kutcher has never been raped by Danny Masterson, so that's easy for him to say."
Right. And he added that, this is about Danny, having his daughter raised without a present father would be a tertiary injustice in and of itself.
Okay.
And then, in her letter, Mila vouched for Masterson's exceptional character and the tremendous positive influence he has had on me and the people around him. And they said in their like recorded statement, which is very bizarre. It's very funny for two big actors to see them really, truly acting in a way that's like, you know, doesn't seem natural. But basically they said they were, quote, not written to question the legitimacy of the judicial system or the validity of the jury's ruling. They were intended for the judge to read and not to undermine the testimony of the victims or to re-traumatize them in any way. We would never want that. And we're sorry if that has taken place. I mean, also, our heart goes out to every single person who's ever been a victim of sexual assault, sexual abuse, or rape. But let me just say that if you've raped somebody and it's, you know, it's been 20 years, you're no longer an ongoing, you know, harm to society.
Okay, so I have outrage fatigue,
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
For me, yes, personally, yeah. I have outrage fatigue.
Right.
My blood is boiling.
I know.
Over this.
And I also had a little bit of an instinctual outrage fatigue because mm-hmm. I'm like, of course, like, I have outrage fatigue as well. But what I'm going to say, it's so hard to get a rape conviction. A conviction is so, it's so hard to come forward and it's so hard to get a conviction. So knowing that these letters came after the conviction, after there was true evidence of him drugging and raping multiple women. Yeah.
And I just think that three people is such a stronger, clear evidence that this guy was guilty
right.
rather than if he had been accused by one person, that is different.
Right.
Three yeah. people said that this sure. happened. Clearly, this guy... Also, rape is such a hard thing to prove.
Right. And especially from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's you know?
Insane.
It's really sickening. And I think even in either Ashton's or Mila's letter, they said, like, I would feel totally comfortable with him around our children. I just think that there are plenty of people who are bad actors and who have a shadow side who never reveal that to their closest
yeah,
friends.
Of course, people who are rapists don't walk around with rapist
right,
hats.
Right. Okay. The other thing I want to say.
Yeah.
So I saw this TikTok from Kathy Griffin talking about the situation. You used to be a big fan of Kathy Griffin. I remember
still
that.
Still am.
Yeah, she's great.
I mean, I liked My Life on the D List.
Right.
I don't
right.
want to talk about the Trump thing.
Sure. But like Kathy Griffin, yeah.
I think is a funny
I
lady.
Remember like you being a fan. I remember liking, you know, what you would share with me and stuff. So she got on TikTok and she said, I want to talk about how indefensible Ashton and Mila's actions are. Because she said, my brother, and she's written about this in her memoir, her brother was a pedophile.
Yeah.
And she tried to get him arrested multiple times. And this caused a huge family rift because yeah. he had done sort of like some gross things to her when she was younger. And she, two his ex-girlfriends had reached out to her saying like, you know, he assaulted me or, you know, whatever. And she like tried to get the police to literally like, you know, charge him or at least like bring him in for questioning or whatever. And she never could. And she just says that this caused a huge rift. I mean, her family didn't speak to her. They wrote her letter saying you're no longer a Griffin. Yada, yada, yada. And it's just like, you have to stand against people who are perpetrators mm-hmm. and predators, you know? Like,
it doesn't matter if you did a show with them.
Right. And it doesn't, like, in her case,
if they're your brother.
It doesn't matter if it's your brother.
Yeah.
It's horrible and it's complicated, but you cannot stand with perpetrators, in my opinion.
And also, like, this guy is a
convicted
rapist. Times he was convicted of two,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
But there are three accusers. So in my opinion, sorry, but that means that he's guilty of all three.
Absolutely.
So I just think that to publicly try to defend mm-hmm. him or get mm-hmm. him a light sentencing, that is not standing with victims of sexual assault, which is what they said that
right.
they do.
Oh,
it's a joke.
In our work, you can see that we stand with victims. I mean, they don't. I think they also thought that only the judge was going to read those letters.
Yeah.
I think they thought they would be publicly published. And the last thing I want to say is in their letters, they praise Danny Masterson for leading a drug-free life.
Yeah.
Even though he was convicted of drugging these women.
It's very out of touch. It's very strange. I also will say that I think that they should have not acknowledged it. I mean,
yeah.
the thing about them is that they... Ashton Kutcher at this point is like a venture capitalist. He's like he just invests
yeah.
in businesses. They're out of really
right.
the celebrity limelight. They don't...
Right.
They don't walk red carpets. They're not
right.
really acting anymore.
And... I'm sorry, but their commentary on their video about how, like, we stand with victims, like, no one's buying this.
It just added to the news cycle.
Totally.
Like, I think that this would have been a blip if they had just
let it go
and just
never said anything. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. So, anyways, that's a bleak note we can end on.
Yes. Okay, you guys. All right, so this Friday on Patreon, we are doing a Q&A and also advice. So
yep.
we're going to answer your questions and give you our, you know, solicited advice, but definitely uncredentialed.
Right.
And then... Additionally, everyone, if you love the pod, please share it.
Send
it to a friend.
Post it on your story if you feel so inclined.
Include a link so people can easily tap and listen.
Yep.
Please help the pod grow. When the pod grows, it really gives us faith that we should keep going
right.
with Pop Apologist, so it really means a lot.
We really appreciate it.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
That's all for now, folks. Don't forget, give us a 5-star review, hit us up on Instagram at PopApologists, and we will see you next week, live every Wednesday.